It's time for From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine with Trey Schaff. A golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around, trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Shortgrass is presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine and brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. By Beechwood Hospitality, we partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Shortgrass, here's your host, Trey Schaff.
Welcome to another edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I am your host, Trey Schaap. UAMS Ortho Now is now open at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. If you have an orthopedic injury, sports, work, or anything else, walk in and see the best in orthopedic care. No appointment is needed. Ortho Now, open Monday through Friday, 8 to 8, and Saturday, 8 to noon. It's conveniently located at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. For more information, call 501-686-TOSH. That's 501-686-8674. The Simmons Bank Championship, presented by Stevens, part of the PGA Tour Champions Playoff, was in town about a month ago, and I had a chance to sit down with Tommy Two Gloves Gainey. You're going to enjoy my interview with him. Didn't play collegiate golf, but found his way to the PGA Tour, and he got a lot of help along the way. We're going to talk about that and much more after the break.
The next time you travel to El Dorado and need overnight accommodations, the Haywood Hotel is where you need to stay. The Haywood El Dorado Tapestry Collection by Hilton is a great place to stay if you're in South Arkansas, listening to live music, or playing the challenging Mystic Creek Golf Club. Take time and relax in their bar for a drink before going out on the town for dinner. The Haywood, 210 South Washington, right in the heart of downtown El Dorado. Search the Haywood El Dorado on the web or call 800-293-0718 for reservations. The Haywood, a Beechwood Hospitality property.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
I'm Dr. Lowry Barnes. When it comes to orthopedic care, there's no place like the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. We built this hospital just for you. With state-of-the-art surgical suites, advanced technology, and the state's largest group of fellowship-trained orthopedic surgeons, it's the best place in Arkansas to get you moving again. And if you need urgent orthopedic care, UAMS Ortho Now is right here for you at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health, where motion lives and service leads.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Tommy Two Gloves Gainey, born in Darlington, South Carolina, attended Central Carolina Technical College, studying industrial maintenance, graduated in 1999, but before that, he turned professional in 1997. You're going to hear about his first professional win and how he was able to get into the tournament. He also appeared on the Golf Channel show The Big Break twice. You're going to hear about that as well. It's all coming up right now. On the tee, Tommy Two Gloves Gainey.
Tommy, thanks for joining me on this edition of From the Shortgrass. Do you remember the first time you ever picked up a golf club?
I don't, because I'm 50 years old now. And I started when I was 9 years old.
So. Well, there you go, 9 years old.
I do remember the age, but I don't remember the first time I picked it up.
When did you fall in love with the game? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I fell in love with the game when I turned 13.
What was it about the game?
Well, you know, I was a really good baseball player. I was a baseball player, you know, started at 8, played all the way to 12. It was Little League. And I was a really good pitcher, third baseman. I didn't like that hot corner. It was Hot.
Too hot.
Too hot for me. I agree. You know, a good pitcher. I was a good third baseman. I was a good outfielder. You know, I didn't make many errors. I didn't hit for power, but I hit for base hits. You know, I could get on and I could move people over if I needed to, all that good stuff. And then I was just messing around playing golf because my dad was playing then. So he got us a set of clubs for my brother and I to share. So we started playing and, you know, I just going out there and just hitting these balls and just hitting them good. And, you know, we'd play on the weekends. Dad would, our father would play with the group. They'd have this little Saturday, Sunday blitz, they called it. He'd be gambling a little bit. But me and my brother, we wouldn't. We would just be out there playing. And, you know, I'd go out there and sometimes we'd play 18 holes. I'd make 8 birdies.
Wow.
Then I'd make 10, but then I'd make 3 triples. I mean, just crazy. Just hit bad tee balls all over the place, but just make a bunch of birdies. Chip in here out of the bunker, or making a shot from 150 yards, or just making a long putt, like a 50, 60-footer, like it was easy. I mean, it was just easy back then for me. And then the biggest thing that I realized was all my friends was telling me when I got to 13, I got to 15, I got to 16, I was saying, man, you can play. You can play this game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you making all these birdies and hitting it this good, you need to be out there playing professionally. And I'm just 15, 16 years old, and, I mean, I'm a kid still, or right. A teenager.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, women really wasn't in the picture then. It was just, you know, I'm doing my thing. I'm playing golf, loving it. Finally gave up baseball and just focusing on golf. And I got to be a senior, played good, played number one for our school team. I played so good my senior year, but didn't get recruited by anybody. This was 93 when I graduated high school, just mm-hmm. to give everybody a little idea on mm-hmm. how long it's been.
Right.
So graduated in 93, nobody recruited me, and I felt like I was a good player to be recruited. My dad was kind of disappointed that I didn't get recruited, didn't go to college anywhere. So I went to a tech school, got into a trade. Went a year and a half, got industrial maintenance was my trade I got in. Because every time you pick up the paper, 6, 7, 8 jobs. Back then, we're talking starting off at $16 an hour. That was good money back then.
That was real good money.
That was real good money back then. Yeah. So, you know, it dealt with industrial electricity, just for people that don't know what it is. Industrial electricity, hydraulics, you know, pumps, oil, all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So I got that, and I was still working at the golf course trying to make some money, still focusing on my game, playing, and then I got to work at A.O. Smith. So the golf didn't work out. Then I started working at A.O. Smith. So I met a friend of mine. Cliff Wilson's passed away since like 2 years now. There was this teardrop tournament come to Columbia. He said, it's okay. He said, Tommy, I'm going to pay, you just pay like $150. It was like $1,000 or so.
Mm-hmm.
So he paid it, and I just paid $150. Won $15,000, my first professional event, and I'm working 6 days at A.O. Smith.
And you won $15,000?
Won $15,000. I asked Cliff, I said, you paid most of it. I said, this is yours. You just tell me what you want, and I'll give whatever you want. He said, Tommy, he said, no. He said, it's yours. He said, you know, I told you a long time, you got it. It. I still don't know what it is. Maybe you can shed some light on that, Trey, or maybe anybody in Radio Land might could shed some light on it.
I'm still trying to find what it is, Tommy.
I don't know what it is, but he said, you got it. He said, you're special.
Mm-hmm.
When he said you were special, and he said, I'm just trying to help you because I think you're special. I think you've got it, and I think you got a chance to be really, really good for the future. And, you know,
what does that do to you emotionally, and what does that do to your confidence when you hear that, Tommy?
Oh, it makes you feel like you can't be beat. When somebody's telling you that, makes you feel like, hey, bring them on. I don't care who they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Set them up on the first tee and let's go. But he really meant a lot to me, because that's not a lot of people spend $850 and I spend $150 and I tried to give him the whole $15,000.
Right.
And he said, no, I'm just trying to help you. Now it's like when people help you, there's something else.
Ulterior motives.
That's it. Yeah. That's exactly right. There's ulterior motives, as you said, and they want to help you, but they're looking in the future to see, well, if I help him, then he can help me make this money.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's how it's come out as far as like it is now. It ain't like it used to be. When people wanted to help you, they really had the heart that they wanted to help you. And Cliff did. And he really helped me a lot. And, you know, I've had so much help from a lot of different people. I don't have enough time in the day to thank everybody that's helped me get to where I'm at right now. They know who they are. And I really appreciate them taking a chance, because you know what? They could have said, well, no.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I need to help you?
Right.
You help yourself.
Right.
It's you got the game. You go try to earn it. And instead, I've had people help me to meet the right people, to meet some other new people, and it's just worked out in my favor. And here I am, seven tournaments in.
Yeah.
Seven tournaments in the PGA Tour Champions, and I'm 36 on the list. So all those people that's helped me, what I'm doing now is because of the help you have given me to end up where I'm at now.
And you've done it the hard way, too. I mean, qualifiers.
Oh, nothing's been easy.
No.
I mean, nothing's been easy in my life. And these Monday qualifiers, it's like, well, before I turn 50, I've had some conversation with some of my buddies that's been playing in them, and they said, well, you know, you shoot 3 or 4 under, you know, worst case, you'll be in a playoff. But 4 under gets you in 99% of the time.
Wow, yeah.
And then I get out there, and I shoot, like, the first one is, like, 6 under, and I'm low score. I said, okay, that's cool. So the next one, I shoot 8 under. Good deal. So the next one, I shoot 6 under. Get in. So I get in the first three, and then Sioux Falls, I missed that one. But then the next one, I shoot 8 under. And I think that was St. Louis where I shot 8 under.
Mm-hmm.
And I birdied, like, the last 3 holes to shoot 8 under. And I'm just saying, wow, I mean, I'm in. I mean, I got a chance to play.
Yeah.
And these guys, I mean, like I said before, in these other interviews I've done, these guys can still play.
No doubt.
But believe it or not, these guys can still play. And the crazy part about it is I thought the tournaments out here, they would set them up a lot easier.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Boy, was I mistaken. I was mistaken, surprised, and shocked when I first got out here and seen firsthand they set it up just like the PGA Tour, and they set it up just like the Korn Ferry Tour.
Yeah.
The only difference is they don't play 250-yard par threes.
Which
is good. They don't play 510-yard par fours,
mm-hmm,
or 530-yard par fours. So that's a good thing. I do like that.
Obviously, Korn Ferry days, bouncing around some mini tours, trying to just make it. What was that like for Tommy Gainey, trying to make it?
Well, I learned early on, everywhere you go, there's somebody better. You know, I was a good player, still a good player, but everywhere you go, there's somebody better. Whether that person is in the shadows or if he's just one of the guys at the country club that everybody says this is the guy. It's been really tough because I don't know if you've kept up with the Korn Ferry Tour the last 5 years, but let me give you a little insight on everybody in radio land and TV land.
Sure.
The last 5 years, the Korn Ferry Tour, you could shoot 5 to 7 under the first 2 days and be slamming your trunk, missing the cut. Now, when I say 5, 6, or 7 under, I'm serious.
Mm-hmm.
You can shoot those three numbers and be gone. And listen, the highest cut they had was earlier this year. It was 9 under at the Veritex Bank in Arlington, Texas. It was 9 under. Because I shot 8 under for 2 days and missed a cut by 1. Now, are you talking about, oh, man, you talking about being depressed?
Because that's good golf. I mean, 8, 9 under par?
Yeah. Shot
that's golfing your ball.
I played bad the first day, shot even par. Second day, I played good, shot 8 under. Missed it by 1. And there's been times where I've shot 4 and 5 under and still missed a cut by 2 or 3. And I'm just saying, I mean, I haven't really put it all together.
Mm-hmm.
But still, anytime you play 2 rounds and you shoot 5 or 6 under, you should be playing the next 2 days.
Agreed, 100%.
And not slamming your trunk and going to the next stop.
Big break. I think that's where you kind of got your notoriety with, obviously, the 2 gloves.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the big break first, and then we'll come back and talk about why 2 gloves. What was the big break experience like for you?
Man, it was awesome. It was fun, but it was really tough.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really tough for me because my first big break opportunity was at Carnoustie. First time I've ever been out of the country.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir. And trust me when I say I got sick. When I went over there, I tried all the food they had. I tried their hamburgers, steak, the fries, the fish, the chips, salads, you name it. I tried everything they had, and I was sick the first 4 days. I lost 15 pounds the first 4 days I was there. I went over there 165. When I got on the scale, when I got back after 2 weeks, I was 150.
Mm.
I had the directors, the producers, everyone there was worried about me because I couldn't keep anything down, couldn't keep any food down. And I didn't drink. I didn't drink over there.
Mm-hmm.
Not the first 4 days. But after, you know, I was able to keep something down, like the chips. I was able to keep the chips down.
Then you had a Guinness?
Like the steak fries. No.
Yeah. Stayed away from that.
I stayed away from that.
Okay.
I think maybe I was drinking a little bit of orange juice and vodka or something like that. Something, you know, not too heavy,
mm-hmm.
but I think I was able to keep some of that down. But I didn't drink a lot back then. So, but having to deal with that, they was really worried about me because, you know, I've got the farmer's tan, if nobody's seen my face. And it was really white, like really like Casper white.
Like there was something going on there.
Right. So, but, you know, listen, I'm not going to sit here and say that's the reason I got kicked out. But, you know, the big break is what it is. I mean, you can hit one good shot, one great shot, one bad shot, one mediocre shot, and you're going home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what made it so fun, because you never knew how good of a shot they were going to hit, the players, the contestants, or whatever. You never knew. And some of the good shots that you would think be safe wasn't safe, and then that player got kicked off the show.
But you ended up winning because you got kicked off Carnoustie, but then you go back and you win. So that had to be good.
The Big Break reunion, Big Break 7, it was like I think the slogan was they wanted to ask the fans who they would like to see on this episode or this
mm-hmm.
this one particular episode, and, you know, I got voted to be on there, which very humble and blessed to get another shot at it because, you know, when I got the first opportunity, there's a lot of people across the world that wish they had a chance to be on that show.
Sure.
Because it was that hot.
Yeah.
I mean, that show was that hot. The ratings were unbelievably so high. And I got on that one time, and then I got voted to be on it a second time. And that was when I felt, I mean, man, I'm so lucky. You get to do it once, and then they want you back on there.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of players got that opportunity.
Right.
So I felt really lucky and blessed to get that second chance. And I wanted to take that second chance and
make the most of that opportunity.
Make the most of the opportunity.
Yeah,
and try to win. I tried to win the first one, didn't work out. But the second one, I wanted to make sure that, you know, when I got on there, I wanted to let them know that I was here to win, and no second place, no third place, no getting ousted early. I was there to win.
Why the two gloves? Does it go back to your baseball days?
It does, but I give the credit to my father. He introduced me to the game, and he wears two gloves as well. So if you want to call my father the original, I got no problem with that.
Or Two Glove Senior?
Two Glove Senior, yeah, you can call him that too. He deserves all the credit. I mean, first of all, he's my father, so, you know, without him, there's no me.
Right.
And the second thing is, without him playing golf and introducing me to the game, I would never be here right now. And so I just, you know, his old gloves, he would give me his old gloves, and, you know, they were so beat up, so holes in them and stuff. So what I would do is I would cut the sleeves, the fingertips out, and make it like these weightlifting gloves mm-hmm. that you see all these guys do.
Oh, yeah.
Use. So I took those, put two on each hand. That way, you know, if one of the gloves had a hole in the middle, then I put the other one over it so it would fix that. And I didn't have no money at the time to buy gloves, because back then they were like, I don't know, $10 or $12 a piece. And being a teenager or even younger, I mean, I didn't have that kind of money, and my father didn't have that kind of money to spend gloves for me. I mean, you're talking for a pair of gloves, especially in the summer. I mean, you could go through a lot of them. So that was pretty much it on that. I didn't have the money. He didn't have the money, and that's the way I started with it. And now look at me, and, you know, I'm getting gloves. I'm getting six per week, which I go through a lot, and I give a lot away.
Mm-hmm.
But I still have enough that, you know, if my dad needs some, I'm definitely going to take care of him.
Well, it's something that I think, you know, some people have something that they're recognized by. Like when Payne Stewart played, it was the, you know, the plus fours or the knickers
right.
that he would wear. Mm-hmm. I mean, you knew that was Payne Stewart when you saw him in the fairway. With you, it's we see the two gloves. We know that's Tommy Two Gloves Gainey. Do you embrace that?
I do. I mean, there's so many nicknames that I have. I mean, and just recently, I'll tell you another one that they just gave me out here.
Oh, boy.
So, oh, it's a good one. So they call me Two Gloves, Gloves, Mittens. I just now recently got a new one out here. David Duvall started calling me Two.
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 Does
kinda,
he?
It's kind of catchy.
Yeah, does he spell it T-O-O, T-W-O, or T-O?
I have no idea. I have no idea. He just says two.
Two.
I said, well, I mean, you know, now it's, you know, I went from glove to two gloves to mittens, and now two. I like it.
It's stuck.
It's starting to stick out here because.
Has anybody else picked up on it?
Somebody else just called me two earlier today, and I can't remember who it was.
When your career is all said and done, Tommy, what are you most thankful for? That gentleman that said, here's money for that first professional tournament, I guess you could say, that you played in, where you won $1,500?
Well, first of all, I have to thank God, because without God and this ability that he gave me, I wouldn't be where I'm at. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the first thing. And you got to thank the people that helped get me here. I mean, because they deserve the credit. I'm just a player.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I know how to do. I mean, they had resources to help me get in this position right now. And it goes by the wayside on a lot of players that get a lot of help. They don't want to speak for nobody. But, I mean, I've heard some stories of some players that's gotten a lot of help, and they didn't really appreciate it. I think that's the word that needs to be said.
Yeah.
But me, I appreciate it, because without that help, without those resources, you don't see Tommy Two Gloves. You just hear about Tommy Gainey playing in some gambling games or some of this other stuff.
Taking people's money, making birdies. Best golf course you've ever played, or favorite golf course you've ever played?
Well, it's got to be Seaside, because that's where I won the PGA tournament. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know I've won three times on the Corn Ferry, but I mean, how can you not say Seaside is not a favorite golf course and one of the best golf courses? I mean, man, I can name a few. Pebble. How can you not say Pebble's not a really good one? It's a bucket list type golf course. Riviera.
Yep.
Quail Hollow.
Yes.
Harbortown.
Yes.
I mean, it's like, well, man, that's four really good ones right there.
Really, really good ones.
And I was just so lucky to win at Seaside at the McGladrey Classic at 12. I mean, Seaside, that's a great golf course.
Special. Special.
It is.
Fantasy foursome, living or deceased, you and three others that you would like to play a round of golf with, who would they be?
Wow. So, Mr. Arnold Palmer has to be at the top of the list.
The king.
I mean, I don't know how anybody can say they would not want to have a round of golf with that man. Everything that he's done for the game, living, and now that he's passed, his name still carries weight with his tee, his half and half tee.
Mm-hmm.
And his golf course, Bay Hill. I mean, he put a stamp on this game that nobody else can ever touch. And I even hate to say it, but Tiger came and put a stamp on this game like Mr. Palmer did. I mean, he was there first. He set the foundation. And what Tiger did is he took it from that position and he ran with it and made it better. And that's a lot of people, they need to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Because Tiger he brought more money into the game, more people into the game than anybody else I've ever seen. So it would be Tiger, Mr. Palmer, and Mr. Nicklaus. Now, if you say any foursome to play with me, then, you know, God, Mr. Byron Nelson, Bobby Jones, those two guys, I mean, I've heard stories about Bobby Jones saying he was the best amateur to ever tee it up.
No doubt.
And the stories, and that says a lot.
Says a whole lot. Tommy, I can't thank you enough for your time. It's been good talking to you. Good luck.
Hey, Trey, I appreciate you. Thanks for letting me come on with you and talk a little golf.
All right, buddy. Enjoyed it.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
From Central Arkansas to South Arkansas, to Northeast Arkansas, across the state to Northwest Arkansas, you will find a Beechwood Hospitality property. From the Haywood in El Dorado to the Hilton Garden in Jonesboro, to the Doubletree in Bentonville and the Staybridge Suites just south of Baumwalker Stadium, Beechwood Hospitality has a room for you. Beechwood Hospitality is the leader in hotel property management in the state. Make sure you find a Beechwood Hospitality hotel for your next overnight stay.
I'm Dr. Lowry Barnes. When it comes to orthopedic care, there's no place like the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. We built this hospital just for you. With state-of-the-art surgical suites, advanced technology, and the state's largest group of fellowship-trained orthopedic surgeons, it's the best place in Arkansas to get you moving again. And if you need urgent orthopedic care, UAMS Ortho Now is right here for you at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health, where motion lives and service leads.
That's about all the time we have for this edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Real quick, I want to thank Matthew Allen and Blair Allen, Beechwood Hospitality. They know how to manage hotel properties. When you need an overnight place to stay, make sure you're staying at a Beechwood Hospitality hotel. You'll be glad you did. You'll get a great night's sleep, and you know that the hotel is going to be in tip-top shape. That's Beechwood Hospitality. Congratulations to Stuart Sink. He won the Charles Schwab Cup by winning over Stephen Alker, who won the Simmons Bank Championship presented by Stevens back in October. Stuart Sink wins at Phoenix Country Club over Stephen Alker and wins the season-long Charles Schwab Cup for the first time in his career. Hopefully it won't be too much longer, and we'll have Stuart Sink back on an episode of From the Shortgrass to talk about his great season he just had this year on PGA Tour Champions. That's all the time we have for this edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more. And I hope to see you sometime soon. From the Shortgrass.
You have been listening to From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network in association with Majestic Cubby Productions.